Welcome back to the Missing Maura Murray podcast. I am Tim, here today with Lance. How are you, Lance?
I'm doing very well. Very excited about this episode.
Yeah, it's really emotional. So what we did, if you missed it, on Facebook Live on the 14-year anniversary of Maura's disappearance, we did a Facebook Live show, I suppose, with you, me, Julie Murray, Kurt Murray, and Maggie Freeling and Art Roderick.
This was something that came up between Maggie and Julie. They brought us into the fold, and we were more than happy to, what we keep saying is, put the attention back, put the focus back on Maura.
Yeah, so this is the first time that we've done or been a part of a vigil, and it wasn't about theories and things like that. So that it was really refreshing, and it was really nice to hear these stories of Maura, and she sounds like a spitfire of a person. I mean, just a great funny person.
Right. Very, very funny. Hilarious, even, when Julie's reading the letters and just, you know, the writings on the back of pictures, and you find out little things about her. I didn't know that she was an X-Files fan. Was that?
Yeah.
So these things were mentioned. They were brought up. Everybody was asking really cool questions. I don't think I saw a single question where I felt uncomfortable for Julie to see.
Yeah.
So on the Facebook Live, good job, everybody, asking those questions, keeping it respectful. Just want to give a shout out to the owners of the Airbnb home that we rented up there. We did not have a party. I know there were a couple extra cars there, but it was all for a good cause.
So it really was for a good cause, and it was great hearing these stories. Also, what we asked you to do on February 9th at 7:25, the 14-year anniversary and time of when Maura went missing, was light a candle and take a picture of yourself or yourself with that candle or just the candle or something and hashtag it on social media with Finding Maura Murray, hashtag Finding Maura Murray. And so the outpouring from this community was really impressive, and it was touching. And I can say firsthand that, you know, we were with two of the Murrays, and they were honestly touched by the show of support by this community. So that was amazing, guys.
Yeah, they were seriously moved.
Yeah,
and they followed right up with more stories. They didn't let it get them the emotions get them like bogged down in it all. And it was just because those questions kept coming on the Facebook Live, forum. And I think they really sort of reveled in the opportunity and to finally get to say these, you know, to give these stories to the public.
And one thing they said is that hearing back from you guys and getting all these comments and these pictures, it really energizes them to get through another year of this, what has to be misery. So, you know, thank you to everyone out there. I think that was really, it was a really great showing. And if you haven't done it yet, you can still do it. There's still time. There's no reason not to do it when it's not February 9th at 7:25 p.m.
Right. So if you're listening to this right now, whatever time it is, whatever day it is, just go ahead and light this candle, any candle. We'll light a candle.
We're lighting
here.
One right now, and this is on video if you're watching on the YouTube page. And this is actually the candle that was used by Julie and Kurt up in New Hampshire. And so we're going to light this candle for Maura, and we're going to hashtag Finding Maura Murray.
And take a picture of it.
Post it to your social media, whichever you feel like.
And go ahead and have yourself a moment of silence for Maura.
Okay, thank you. We really hope you enjoy these personal stories from Julie and Kurt about the person Maura Murray. So thank you very much.
You put out that the video, kind of a call to action for people to check out this Facebook Live, and now's the opportunity to tell people why this is so important, why doing what we're doing right now is so important.
Right. So we have so many more people that are kind of involved in the case now, especially after the Oxygen series. So I wanted a way where we could do something that everyone could be a part of. And it was actually a phone call that I had with Maggie where we were kind of discussing how can we get everyone involved, because we've got people all over the world, actually. And so then we, you know, we came up with, hey, why don't we do Facebook Live? And so it's a way to bring everyone together. And I really like the idea of kind of refocusing back on Mara, because a lot of times we, and at no fault of our own, we go down these rabbit holes because that's what this case is. If you've, you know, if you've read more than one article about the case, you know that there are rabbit holes. And so the focus tends to kind of go down that road, and I want to bring everyone together and center around this, the person, our sister, Mara.
That brings up something interesting that you had said when you first came in here tonight. I don't know if you feel comfortable saying that now, but just talking about how you can't lose fact of, and people so often lose fact of the that this is a person we're talking about. You want
to? Yeah, I mean, when you're looking at cases like this, it's easy to get, you know, involved with theories and things like that. But you know, this is our sister. This is somebody that, you know, we grew up with, and it's important that we humanize her so that people can relate to that. You know, and that's, you know, the main objective.
Yep. And you said you said something interesting that we had never really talked about before, that you were 15 when it happened.
Yeah.
And you didn't realize until later on the significance of it, right?
Yeah. So it took years for me to appreciate the gravity of what was happening, because I was 15. I was trying to get through school, discovering girls, trying to, you know, figure out my own life. You know, Mom was sick, and I never had a chance to really focus on it. And it took, you know, probably a good 4 or 5 years before I came to the realization. It's like, my God, my sister's gone. Like, how do I even deal with that? I didn't give it a chance to sink in because I was distracted with life in general.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden it's like, what, you know, how do I cope? And, you know, what can I do to keep this alive? And that's what this is all about.
Awesome. And we have Maggie and Art here. And we were going to start getting into some questions that people wanted to ask, but maybe we should...
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to say first, people are checking in from all over the world.
Oh, good.
I saw a hi from Kentucky.
Oh,
Sweden.
From Louisiana.
Sweden, my motherland.
From Sweden. Wow. From California. From Kentucky. From New Zealand. From Boston, Texas. So thank you very much. And we wanted to say that we're going to light the candles at 7:25. And so we're asking that you take a picture of your candle or yourself and your candle and post it to your social media and hashtag Finding Mara Murray. And that'll be the hashtag to find every one of these pictures. So thank you, everyone, for doing that and being organized and getting your candles. It's really sweet.
If you don't mind, before we kind of go down the story roads, I want to do a quick thank you. There's way too many people to thank, but I want to thank a few. And they're the reason why we're here today and we're all coming together. But to name a few, Helena, obviously. My dad says Helena was the glue to the Mara Murray case, and she was. And with her loss, it was devastating for my dad and for us. But we've got new support and some amazing people. So Helena, we've got Troy Kilman, who helps me run the Facebook page. We have Scott Wall. We have John Smith and the Truth Seeker crew, done an amazing job for 14 years. Definitely can't thank those people enough. We've got newer people, well, not really newer, but we've got Aaron Larkin, who's done an amazing job with the timelines and the details. Who am I forgetting?
Everyone here.
Of course. Well, that goes without saying. You guys, of course. The podcast has been great for the keeping the case alive, and obviously these guys, can't thank them enough, and the whole Texas crew. So like I said, there's too many people to thank. Nancy with Boots on the Ground.
That's huge.
Very huge. And all the locals, I mean, we'll come up here and people will just come out of nowhere and just give us some support, and it's amazing to know, like, we don't even know the amount of people that are supporting us. So like I said, I wish I could name them all, but that would be impossible. I also want to say that my sister Kathleen is watching from Vermont. She wasn't able to be here. I wish she could make it out. And Freddie.
Cool.
So, nice. Yeah.
Well, it's anybody who comes, like you mentioned Aaron and you mentioned John Smith, as long as, and this is something that we've always talked about, as long as the case is talked about, as long as your sister is talked about, and you're coming at it with respect, and if your opinion is your opinion and it's not accurate, that's fine, but just keep talking.
Exactly.
Keep talking
exactly,
about yep. it, because in your video you said someone knows something.
Uh-huh.
And then when we were talking, when you first came in, like, someone knows something. It's, you know, this doesn't happen.
Yeah, there has to be a break somewhere.
Yes.
It's just a matter of finding it.
So don't let it disappear into, like, folklore. Yeah.
One thing I really wanted to do, and this is what I mentioned to you when we spoke about it, was, and Maggie too, was very few people have actually met Mara. And so I was able to come up with a few things that she actually wrote. And so I want to read those because it's her writing me a note. Awesome. So I'm going to read it, and this is just a little snapshot of how she would have communicated with me. I'll read this one, and then I'll hand it over to Curtis. But this is just a typical note, just like scratch paper. I don't know if they can see it, but really, she wrote like a doctor, and it's really sloppy. And so I may not actually even be able to read all the words, but I'm going to give them a best shot. So this is my absolute favorite letter that she wrote me, and I'm just going to read it. She says, "Hey, Jules." She called me Jules. "I'm with Dad on the way to Wampatuck. I'm putting together a photo for Dad, New Hampshire pictures, with separate kid sections. Maybe for his birthday or just a whatever, thanks for being so awesome present. Hopefully you're having fun in the field. I start school September 2nd. Should be fun. Working with Laura. Kathleen's apartment is nearly all set up. It is wicked awesome. They got a couch and pictures for $18. So very thrifty. Bill's coming this weekend. He asked for your number. Has easy classes, but no sleeping in the morning. I got him to stop smoking, but he only does at Rob's when he drinks, which is awesome." And then she has in little parentheses, it says, "Sweet, 3 words per line." And then she said, "I might go to Bill's house for Turkey Day if you aren't coming home. We'll see, though. Okay, time to run. Blah. Call me bitch Mara." So what I love about this little note was you can tell, you know, how thoughtful she was. She wanted to do a photo album for my dad because, you know, for no reason, just for a whatever. You know, it's just that's right. That's
Mara. That's who she was.
That's
100%.
When I first met your dad, and there was probably only like a minute of it in the show, but we sat there for 3 hours of your dad, you know,
I believe it.
Your dad sifting through every note and card and present that Mara ever gave him, he has in a box. And it was 3 hours worth. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
She liked to write notes.
She loved to write notes.
What year was that? Do you know? That was.
So, she was at UMass. I would have been that in Korea. That was 2000.
Yeah, it had to be close to
three.
Yeah.
2003. Mm-hmm. So Wampatuck. That's where we used to go running. It was really close to our house. So. Mm-hmm. I would run there with Mara all the time with my dad. We did a lot of our training there, and it's a beautiful place if you haven't been, but that's what she's talking about in that note.
Yeah, she used to bring me there all the time too. We used to go. She'd
make you run.
She'd either make me run, or I'd bring my bike and I'd ride my bike with her.
What do you mean she'd make you run? What would
That was a big thing. Like when they'd babysit for me, my punishment was running.
No, that wasn't punishment.
or to just keep me, you know, keep me in shape, you know, try to pass on running to me.
Well, that's what's so funny. You're like so big now, but you're the baby brother. Like had these two older sisters that were like badass chicks that were like, you're going to run. And you were just little tiny boy.
Run, jumping jacks, you name it.
Yeah. Exactly.
It was great. So I brought a lot of pictures that showed Mara with me just because as the years have gone on, I've realized what a good big sister she was to me over the years. So like this here was her holding me when I came home from the hospital.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and you can see here, she was so happy to be a big sister, and it showed throughout the years.
Because she took help from us.
Exactly. So you were all broken in. She got her turn. And then there you can tell we're related. You know? But that's one of the coolest things about Mara is I've thought about it over the years is, you know, growing up, I never had to pine for her attention or, you know, seek her out. She would always come find me. You know, no matter what she was doing, like we used to do grocery shopping together all the time. And that was a big event. And she'd always make it fun for me because we'd have, you know, we'd usually go late at night and we'd stage like little races throughout the store or, you know, see who could get all the items on the list fastest. Or she'd put something at the end of an aisle and we'd go like race, go to the opposite ends and race from one end of the store to the other to see who could get there first. And that was really cool, you know. And she was always so present and made it such a point to be present in my life. And that was really special. And I've realized that as years have gone on, as I've reflected on it more.
Strip steak and potatoes with spicy maple collard greens, Lance.
Shut up.
I made it, and it was delicious.
You're making me hungry.
Do you know where I got that?
Could it be from a family passed down recipe book?
No, it's from Blue Apron.
Blue Apron. That was my second guess.
Blue Apron is delicious, Lance. They have a team of professional chefs putting in a lot of care into creating recipes each week, not from my old ancestor or grandmother or something.
Hey, if you keep up this cooking, you might actually become one of the Blue Apron chefs.
Wouldn't that be something? Going from not even knowing how to cook to becoming one of Blue Apron's chefs.
One of their expert chefs.
That would be incredible.
And you could create some high-quality food just like Blue Apron creates them. Blue Apron sends only non-GMO ingredients and meat with no added hormones.
Ugh, I'm so sick of the added hormones. Blue Apron is treating Missing Maura Murray listeners to $30 off your first order if you visit blueapron.com/missing. So check out this week's menu and get your $30 off at blueapron.com/missing.
Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Hello from Maine. Hello from Texas. Jason Watts says, Julie, we all got you and your family's back.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Mara would always write cards. She never missed a birthday. And she was going to school for nursing, and my mom was a nurse. So she didn't realize at the time how hard it was until she had to, you know, stand on her feet all day and deal with patients. So I don't know if this is the right card where she talks about this, but anyway, this is a card she wrote to my mom. She says, "Hi, Mom. Hope this reaches you in time. Thanks for everything over the years. I feel bad about not calling, but I never get in until late. I need a cell phone. Finals end the 21st, and Bill's coming to New York for Memorial Weekend. I'm not sure if I'll be home in between, but with all you've dealt with from us kids, you deserve an extra special Mother's Day. Love, Mara." So, again, it just, that's who she was. You'll see that trend in everything that she ever wrote.
All right, so I have this one. This is actually a picture of the first mountain I ever climbed with Mara. I don't know what the hell I was wearing, but that was the first mountain I'd ever climbed. It was Mount Shakur, not far from where we are now. And, you know, like everything else, she made that fun. Instead of torturing me and making me keep up a pace, she took breaks. You know, appreciated the scenery and stuff. Mm-hmm. It was a really good experience. And most of the hiking I did up here, I did with Mara from a very young age. Here's a picture of the whole family. and Mara as usual, you know, holding me or something, you know. Always either torturing me, you know, around me, whatever.
What was this?
That was, that was probably like three or four years old at that point. I don't know exactly when it was, but here's another one. Mara getting ready for prom, me ready for baseball. She using me as an armrest. That was typical. You know, she was always good. I mean, we always did like batting practice and baseball practice and stuff out in the cul-de-sacs. And, you know, that was a big thing for us. She used to, because she knew how much I love baseball. You too. And yeah, we always practiced all the time. It was awesome.
Do you still play?
No, I don't now. No.
What other sports besides track was more, did she excel at?
Anything she
all
tried.
Sports.
Anything she tried. Everything. She was unbelievable that way. Didn't matter what it was, she'd pick it up. Even golf, we used to go to the driving range all the time. Mm-hmm. She was big into that.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
She just loved competing or just was so naturally athletic or both?
A little bit of both, I think.
Yeah, Mar and I were really competitive. Yeah. You remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, things got heated, like...
Competitive with each other?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Especially when she got to West Point, or...?
No, like...
Leading up to that.
Dumb, like, foul shooting contest.
Okay.
But she always beat me, so... Yeah, off the porch, like, yeah. Crazy stuff. When she was a freshman in high school, she entered the state free throw competition.
Oh, geez.
Do you remember this?
Yep.
Yeah, and she beat everyone, and she went on to the quarterfinals, yep. And you kind of do, I don't know if it was like 10 and who gets the best, it was probably right. More than that. But anyway, she made it all the way to the Boston Garden.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I remember I was essentially her rebounder or ball girl or
right.
Something. But I wasn't allowed on the court.
I remember those contests.
Yeah, yeah. It was
big huge.
Deal. Yeah. And so she was star runner, but also in the garden shooting free throws for the state championship as a freshman.
Wow.
So...
And didn't she get banned from pitching in softball because she was too good or too pitched
too
fast?
She was too fast.
She pitched too fast for everybody.
Or something.
And they wouldn't let her pitch. Isn't that why she stopped playing?
I think so. I don't know.
That's crazy. Yeah. So she was just that good at most everything.
How old was she when she was too fast of a pitcher in softball?
I think it must have been middle school.
Yeah. It was unreal.
Was she pitching like 70?
She was pitching fast.
Really fast.
Wow.
Vicious windmill. It was great. Yeah, it was good. And you know what was cool about her is that no matter how good she was at something, she was always so humble and couldn't take a compliment to save her life.
Really?
Anyone complimented her, she'd clam up and turn red, didn't know how to take it. Yeah, it was awesome.
Was that something that just came like naturally with her? I mean, it wasn't something that was taught to her, you know, you need to be humble. Was it something that just was...
This
there?
Is just who she was.
Yeah.
You know.
I love all the profile pictures of pictures of Mora. It's pretty pretty cool. There's got to be at least 10 or 15 profile pictures here that are of Mora today. So thank you for that. It's pretty cool.
So I told you guys I have some questions just for people to get to know Mora better. So one that I asked both of you before, and you both have differing opinions on. If Mora could be the first person to come up with a cancer-curing drug or to explore a new planet, which would she pick?
Well, my answer is come up with a new drug.
Cancer-curing drug.
Cancer-curing drug, yeah.
Why is that?
Well, because she wanted to be a nurse, and she was always trying to help other people, and she really liked elderly people.
She did.
She would volunteer at a nursing home in Hanson, and she just loved it. She loved old people. Yeah.
Wow.
So cute.
See, me, I thought it would be, you know, be the first person to discover a planet, because most of my memories are crazy adventures, jumping off bridges or chasing after bears through the campground or...
What?
Off when we would camp, every once in a while you'd see a bear in the dumpster or something.
Oh, okay.
And she was the first one to go, like, Curtis, come here, we gotta go find it. And like, we'd have to go run, running through the woods after the bear. She was nuts. And,
did you ever think that at the time? Like, my sister is nuts.
Of course. But I went right along with her anyways.
Your dad actually told me a story about that, about how there was like a bear in the tree, and she's like, let's go chase the bear. And
yeah.
He was like, Mora, don't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. She made me a partner in crime for a lot of stuff like that. Yeah. She had the crazy spirit that way, kind of a little bit of a risk taker. Like at the campground, there was a rope swing, and she was like a spectacle. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
She'd go off this rope swing, and she'd be doing like crazy acrobatics, flips, and all sorts of stuff. And she was the first one that ever got me to go off the thing, because I was like getting up there, and I'm like, I can't do it, I can't do it. She finally convinced me to go, you know. And I've become kind of a risk taker because she broke me out of my shell, and she was real good for that, you know.
Yeah.
And you drive a Harley, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maggie was like, oh, Curtis showed up when I first met him. He had this Harley. So now I'm thinking that this risk-taking, this Harley driving my...
That comes pretty much from Mara. First time I jumped off a bridge into water was with Mara. The rope swing, chasing after bears, whatever. So, and that's awesome because it's exposed me to a lot of new things that I may not have done otherwise, you know?
Kathleen says, trailblazer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Was she like leader when you guys would go hiking? She would lead the trail?
She'd be so far in front, you couldn't see
her. You couldn't keep up with her.
So she just had this excitement for life. Yeah. It's just this need for adrenaline.
Yeah, yeah. And she was, plus she was so athletic, it was tough to keep up with her anyways. It didn't matter, at least for me.
Is that you on the bed?
Yep. Yeah. That's my uniform.
Wait, was she not at West Point? Yeah,
no.
This is,
yeah.
I love that.
Mara and Nana.
Yeah.
How old is she here?
That's probably like 8th grade.
Yeah.
That's the house. Driveway of the
house. Okay, guys, we're at about 7:25 now.
Yep.
If you want to light a candle at home and take a picture and post that picture with hashtag #FindingMoraMari to your social media, we think that'll be... pretty nice thing to do. And if you're watching this and it's not February 9th, 2018, still do it. Still take a picture of yourself with a candle and post that to your social media, hashtag #FindingMoraMari, so people can follow this hashtag throughout the year and beyond.
Can I do the honors?
Sure.
So we're going to light the candle here. For whatever reason, Mara and I always would stand the same and have the same, we would have the same mannerisms. I don't think our voices were quite the same.
No.
No. But I have so many pictures where we're standing exactly the same, and it's so crazy. So let me find one real quick.
Kurt, do you think, so Julie, I find you to have like a deeper voice. Is Mara's voice higher or deeper?
Probably a little higher.
Yeah.
Yeah, not by much, but a little bit.
Here's one. We're actually running the exact same. This is the start of one of our cross-country meets when we were in high school. And it might be hard to zoom in on that. But that's Mara and I up front, and we're in the exact same stride. I think I'm like an inch taller.
Amazing.
Maybe a little bit heavier, but so.
What is the age difference between the two of you?
2.5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's the age difference between?
6 years.
6 years.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So something I learned about you, Kurt, when we first met is that, you know, even though you guys have a huge age difference, you were the last two in the house, so you're actually really, really close.
Yeah, we were. And that's kind of what I was saying. Like, Mara always wanted me to be in her life. That's, you know, she was always, like I said, finding me, taking me everywhere, you know, especially after she got her license. Like, she'd go visit her grandmother and be like, Kurt, you got to come with me. Or she'd babysit, you remember Carly and Tammy next door? Yeah. She'd babysit these two girls next door, and she'd want me to go over with her to keep her company or keep her sane, you know, while she was doing that. And, you know, that was really special, and that's just the way she was. She wanted to be a huge part of my life, and she was, you know, and... Yeah, it's nice looking back on those memories.
from Audio Boom comes Mafia, a brand new podcast taking us into America's criminal underworld, exploring the lives and careers of the most powerful gangsters the world has ever seen. Right up your alley, Lance. I know you love mafia movies, Goodfellas, Casino, The Departed. If you like those movies, this is the podcast for you.
And we've worked with Audio Boom for a while now, and we know that they are capable of some high-quality programming. And through extensive research and eyewitness stories, Mafia reveals what life was really like inside the mob from the people who lived it.
Every Wednesday, Mafia dives into the larger-than-life stories of mobsters and introduces us to the key figures who brought them down.
Let's talk about Season 1, host Fleet Cooper.
That can't be a real name.
I don't care. He will bring us closer than ever to the most notorious mob bosses of all time by taking us inside the lives of Sam Giancana,
Dutch Schultz,
Bugsy Siegel, he's your favorite gangster.
And yours, Lucky Luciano.
Love him. John Gotti, the Teflon Don.
And Johnny Depp Brasco.
Tim, it's going to be fun discovering how they built their criminal enterprises and revealing how the mafia is connected to the, the assassination of JFK.
Subscribe to Mafia on Apple Podcasts and every other listening destination now.
Doing it now.
Don't get whacked.
Julian Tauscher says, favorite memory from middle school, final play of the game, and we all get in the huddle. Coach says, whatever you do, get the ball to Mora. So I have to imagine that was someone who played some ball with Mora. That's phenomenal.
That's good.
That sounds about right.
And then Emily Earhard says, what can we do to help find Mora? That's a pretty heavy question.
Yeah, I mean, doing this, joining here, posting a picture with hashtag finding Mora is a good start.
Keep talking.
Yeah, keep the conversation alive.
Oh, and now, who won the race?
Yeah, who won the race? Jamie wants to know.
Mara. So, Mara, I would go and create a record, and then Mara would come behind me and break the record. So,
and I get to observe all of those records on the boards as I went through high school.
And
get harassed to do track and field by Mr. Black.
Yeah, so she would beat all my records. And actually, when we were in elementary school, she broke the boys' record.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she was that
trailblazer, yeah.
She was that good. So, like Kathleen said, yeah, definitely a trailblazer. Here's Maggie just looked at this photo. I think we should, let me explain it. So this is a picture of, I'm a freshman at West Point and Mara is still in high school. So that's my uniform and I'm on like a very limited break and I'm trying to just relax, but she wanted to learn how to properly like put the uniform on and salute. And yeah, that's her in my uniform in high school.
That's her in your uniform because she wanted to learn how to properly salute.
Yeah.
Following in the footsteps.
Yeah. And here's another picture of Mara and I. This is at my Aunt Janice's house. We had great memories there. Her and I are probably, I don't know what we're talking about, but... we probably just want more food or more cookies or something.
Yeah.
I know. I noticed you have cookies here.
This is a picture. She must have made these Rice Krispie treats she made Rice Krispie treats and sent them to me, but...
It's
the periodic table.
Yes, the periodic table.
So she put the periodic table on there, and on the back it said, look, I sent you Rice Krispie treats. I am the best sister.
Wow.
So she's always witty like that, coming back with, like, witty remarks.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Periodic table. Ooh.
Scott wants to know what her favorite band was.
She had a few favorites. I know U2 was one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, U2 was huge for her. She loved the Rolling Stones. But I think U2 was probably one right up there.
Sting
and the Police.
And the Police, yeah.
Listen to hours and hours of songs with her.
And then Laris wants to ask you about the sewer.
Oh, God. So when I was young and I would act up, Mar and Julie would team up with me, and because they knew I was a sensitive little boy, they still are. Yeah, of course. They would tell me that they were going to go leave the house and go live in the sewer, and I would be so frightened by the thought of them going and living in the sewer, I'd break down into tears and do whatever they wanted at any point.
And mostly you became the human remote control. So I think our downstairs TV didn't have a remote, so we just sent Curtis to go
turn change
it.
The channel.
That's little brothers are for,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And if I wouldn't do it, there'd be a push-up or some weight for me, you know?
Marcellus asks, what types of movies and TV shows did Maura like?
That's a good question. Maura was obsessed with the X-Files.
X-Files.
It was
like a family
Scully.
Event.
Definitely the X-Files. Stand By Me. She loves Stand By Me. When all the kids were little, we used to spend a lot of time with my grandmother on my mother's side. She would babysit us a lot. And she would always put on replay The Sound of Music over and over. So Maura always had something funny to say about The Sound of Music and how much we hated it. Oh,
yeah, it was torture. But I know she and I binge watched The Sopranos. She loved The Sopranos.
Wow.
That was huge. Wow. Yeah, we watched that together. But The X-Files was definitely the biggest.
Yep. So someone's asking, her favorite color was blue.
Like, who was somebody she looked up to? Like an idol of hers?
My dad.
Yeah. Big time.
100%.
And our mom, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially once she got into nursing. She started to understand, you know. Yeah, those are two.
And she was really always amazed at Freddie and Kathleen's artistic ability because Maura and I had none. And Freddie and Kathleen, we were the athletic ones. Kathleen and Freddie were so artistic.
Your dad actually told me that when he showed me like a drawing she did for him. He was like, she was the worst artist.
Did he say that?
I was like, somebody was like, she can't draw.
Yeah, Kathleen was insane. She could draw anything, sculpt anything. And Maura always talked about Freddie's taste in music. She thought he had the coolest taste in music just because he listened to all sorts of abstract stuff, different jazzes and like Bob Marley and, you know, and she loved it. She always talked about that.
Was she a big animal person?
You know, Maura liked animals. Kathleen was probably more the animal lover of the family, but Maura loved animals too. We had a lot of them around, so. Ducks and chickens and stuff.
Wow, you guys had ducks and chickens?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thanks to Kathleen.
Yep. Kathleen brought them home and we adopted them.
Kathleen wanted to adopt and save all the animals.
Yeah.
And we'd get random ducks with a hurt wing and Kathleen would try to mend them.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Her favorite food was pizza.
Yeah, definitely. You guys used to torture me with no cheese pizza all the
time. Yeah, so Maura and I went through a short period of trying to like take the cheese off the pizza and then we're like, what are we eating? It was ridiculous. And it wasn't good, so we stopped that.
Yeah, the looks of disgust I must have given the box. I said, you know.
Basic.
No
breadsticks, too. Breadsticks.
Yeah.
From Papageno's.
Papageno's breadsticks,
Scott is asking, is the reason the bow on the tree is blue, is that because it was her favorite color?
Yes.
It is. Wow.
Oh, tea or coffee? Maura was coffee fiend.
Yep, big time. Mary Lou's.
Yep, Mary Lou coffee.
Oh, the Cape Cod Mary Lou's coffee, for anyone who's not familiar, is from like, it's like it starts like around Plymouth, right? And goes, it doesn't really migrate any more north than, I'd say, maybe Quincy? I think there's a Mary Lou's.
You're not going to go much farther than that with it.
Yeah.
But I know, like, Maura introduced me to the Almond Joy iced coffee from Mary Lou's. That's, like, my guilty pleasure to this day.
You just said that. All I'm craving right now is
It's so good.
If Maura was stranded on an island, what would be the one thing she brought?
Oh, man. I don't know.
I already answered, and it would be running shoes.
Yeah.
But if for some reason she forgot the running shoes, she would run without them. Maura would run no matter what.
Yeah, that's...
Do you think she'd be into those new, like, toe
No. None of those fad things.
No. She was too
just,
hardcore
just
for that.
Standard sneakers.
There's Tracy. Hey, Tracy. That's my cousin. Yeah. She said, I remember Mara drinking hot coffee out of a straw to keep her teeth white. Yeah. That is true. Yes. So Mara huge. Had the whitest teeth ever.
Yeah, she was huge into whitening her teeth.
Yes.
Wow. She drank hot coffee out of a straw.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
bypass her teeth.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. Wow. That's
brilliant.
A pro. Yeah. A lot of people are asking how Fred's doing.
My dad's doing as well as he can, considering the circumstances. He's, you know, if you spent 30 seconds with my dad, you know he's a great guy. And you heard Mara's words that I read tonight saying, she wanted to get him a present for no reason, just because he was a great dad. Mm-hmm. So I think he's watching. He sent his candle picture in. Did we?
Yeah,
I saw. Yes, we posted it on Twitter. Yeah.
So he's doing well. He is just laser focused on finding his daughter, as any father would be, and there's nothing stopping that man.
No.
Her favorite holiday was Thanksgiving, mostly because we got to do our favorite thing. We usually ran a race of some sort.
Turkey trot.
A turkey trot, yeah. And then after she beat all the records and set the boys' record, we were kind of done with that, so we moved up to a race right down the street from my aunt's house, and she entered it young. I remember it was a 5 mile or a 10K, and she won that. And then we would just eat a bunch of food. But we liked Thanksgiving a lot because there was no pressure, especially on our parents who didn't have a lot of money to buy gifts. And it was just, we could do the things we love, run and eat and spend time with family. So.
Oh, I like that. Did she like summer or winter?
That's a tough one. I would say summer. Because outdoorsy stuff, hiking, camping, the beach.
Did you guys ski or snowboard?
I started to get into it. I never did it with her.
Yeah.
I think she did it. She did it a few times. I think
she did with some of her friends from Hanson. I think she skied. I know she water skied and she picked it up right away.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Did she climb all 48 of the 4,000 footers? Oh, she was well on her way. My dad did.
Yeah.
And we were actually talking about that today.
Wow.
Mara did many of them with him. I did some before I went to West Point. But no, she didn't get all of them. But she would have.
Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a favorite hobby outside of running? Any sport?
Yeah. Or making salads.
Making salads.
I've heard things about her liking to eat big salads.
Huge salads. Yeah. That was probably a big hobby for her because it'd be a production. That was another thing.
Like she would like mix up the different kinds of vegetables.
Yeah,
like...
it was just it would be a bowl like this and everyone had to try it because it was like a big cheese and apples and all sorts of stuff. She used to make those all the time.
Yeah. Oh, Laura Wright. We went to school with Laura. Hey, Laura. She said the Hanson turkey trot, Julia Mara always won. Oh, Mara always won.
By a good margin, too. I remember being in the crowd and watching. It's like, where is everybody else?
What was Mara's favorite thing she owned?
Throughout the course, I think it might have been her Cutlass. Do you remember when she got her Cutlass or car? Mm-mm. Yeah, she had like a horrible tan Cutlass Supreme, and that was like her pride and joy. That car, it was horrible. It belched smoke. I took many a ride in it. That was like her crown jewel as long as she had it.
Wow.
Yeah, her first car.
That was her first car?
That was her first car. Yeah. It was a horror show, but she loved that thing.
From Casey, what would have made Mara a great nurse?
Probably her compassion.
Definitely her compassion.
Just a really, really compassionate person. She would have excelled at it like everything else. She would have definitely knocked that out of the park. She would have been an unbelievable nurse.
Favorite class in high school?
Chemistry.
Really?
Wow. Oh, wow.
Well, as evidenced by her reservation for fun. Who does that?
Yeah, she was brilliant, and brilliant at math. Loved chemistry.
Yeah.
What is the goofiest thing you remember Mara doing?
Oh, God.
Just doing, like, pranks on probably you.
Yeah.
Pranking Curtis or making him eat something or, like...
Oh, my God.
Just pranking Curtis, trying to make you laugh.
Yeah, She was just a total goofball in most ways. You know, always trying to make us laugh.
Was there anywhere she always wanted to travel to?
She was gonna come to Myrtle Beach, in March. This is interesting. Her and one of her friends at UMass were coming to visit me. I was at Fort Bragg. And we had a phone conversation maybe 2 weeks before she went missing about her planning spring break with me. So she was going to come to Fort Bragg, and then we were all going to drive down to Myrtle Beach together. So I don't know if that would have been her favorite, but that was something that she was planning to do.
But it was also you had, it just wasn't the phone call. It was IMing back and forth.
Absolutely,
about getting
yeah.
Getting ready for the trip, and I'm looking forward to this. Right.
Yeah. And that's why when people say, oh, she was disappearing, well, you know, not really, because she was also planning a spring break trip with me.
Right.
Who, you know, if you're going to disappear, you don't plan spring break.
Right.
Nope. Was Maura a morning person or a night owl?
Night owl.
Night owl. Big time. Mm-hmm.
She seems to be a ball of energy.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, big time. But waking her up could be tough. Or dangerous.
She did like Dane Cook. I think with her Hansen friends, I think she went to see Dane Cook with her Hansen friends.
Oh, yeah. That's so Scott just mentioned the story that Liz told. She was just like an adventurer. And one day she just like hopped the train to go to Boston and adventure on her own. She was just a free spirit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Her friends, Liz and Kate, told me that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she definitely loved going to the city, that's for sure.
Yeah. Right, because to get from you guys to Boston is pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not bad.
Did you guys visit North Conway yearly? Yes, every summer. At least 2 weeks. It would be the big event of the year, especially middle school, high school. And we would spend 1 week camping at Jigga Johnson Campground. And... the second week, we would get my dad would rent a cottage.
In Edelweiss Village.
In Edelweiss, yep.
Yep.
And we would do canoeing and hiking and anything outdoorsy. Yeah.
Here's Kathleen agreeing, yeah, night owl. Right. I shared a room with her.
Was she goofy or serious? She was goofy.
Goofy, big time.
But she was also serious about school and her work too, though, right?
Right. Yeah. And I always was jealous of that part because it came to her so easy.
Yeah, it was natural.
I would have to study for hours and hours and hours, and she'd just get it and take the test and ace it. Get recruiting letters to Harvard and things like that.
Right. Yeah. Your dad was telling me the list of schools she was recruited to. Mm-hmm. Harvard, yeah. Yale was one of them too, right?
Yeah, she had her pick.
Yep. Yeah, she could have gone anywhere.
Did we play video games?
Oh, yeah.
So, My mom was obsessed with Metroid. Do you guys remember that old video game?
Yeah, and Zelda.
And Zelda?
Zelda.
Yeah.
No, Zelda.
Definitely Zelda. Atari?
Yeah.
Atari, yeah.
Atari or Nintendo, maybe?
And, yeah, the regular Nintendo.
Okay.
The Mario, Super Mario Brothers.
Mm, yeah.
For some reason, my mom would play it, and Mara would, like, try to snatch the controller away from my mom and tell it short.
Mom, you're terrible.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, we played a little bit, but we weren't inside kids at all.
Right.
Yeah.
I like that it was that she couldn't watch your mom not do as well as she could do.
Yeah, so she had to, like,
take the remote. I love that.
Defuse the situation before it got worse.
I used to take that role sometimes, too.
Yeah. What was her favorite board game?
Okay, we would play Monopoly for hours.
Yeah, Monopoly was it.
Yep.
100%.
100%. For hours. Like, we would play games that would continue on to the next day.
Yeah.
We'd take a military pause or whatever it's called. And hope that no one would steal the money or, like, do a swap for the properties and pick it up the next day.
Scott says he knows she was competitive, and he's coached for years, and he was always curious how Maura would have dealt with losing.
She was gracious. Yeah.
Was there ever a time you can remember her losing?
There's a time where I remember she let me win.
She let you win?
Yeah.
How do you know?
Oh, because it was my senior year in cross country, and I had an undefeated season. And it was the last meet of the regular season before you went into states and all that kind of stuff. And we were running together, and I was pushing my hardest, and she was right beside me. And she totally could have beat me, and she just let me beat her by one step. It was the same time, but she wanted me to have that undefeated season. Again, goes to show, like, what kind of person does that? That was pretty awesome.
That's how she was.
Yeah.
Did you talk about that afterwards, or it was just kind of known that...
It was something we didn't...
Yeah, you didn't need to...
About. Yeah. I don't know how my dad dealt with us.
I saw it because you guys used to take me when you were training. Like, if you were babysitting, you'd take me.
Yeah, we were fierce in training, but when it came down to the race, for some reason, it was different. We just wanted each other to do well.
Yeah. There was Kathleen had a comment up there about...
Dad would take the controls away when we were misbehaving, but we would find them anyway. Yeah. I was talking about the video game
controls.
What was her first job?
Was it Heidi's Hollow?
Did she work there?
Did she pick raspberries there?
I don't know.
That's where I met Liz and Katie.
Oh, that was our spot.
Right,
because
that was the spot.
Yeah.
I know about Heidi's Hollow.
I don't remember if she worked there,
We should not mention Heidi's Hollow. So Heidi's Hollow, for those that don't know, is a local ice cream shop in Hanson, and it is amazing. It's still there.
Yeah, good ice cream.
Yeah, very good ice cream. And we would go there any chance we could get.
Yep.
It's a very funky... I don't know if it was like that back then, but there's like weird stuff all over the walls. Okay.
They have a barn full of like old antiques and stuff. Yeah. Yeah, you guys taught me also. It's a lesson there. Because when I was a kid, I was really shy. And I'd go up to order ice cream at the counter. And they would both yell at me because I was so quiet that the girls behind the counter couldn't hear me. So you always tell me, speak up, Curtis. Look people in the eye. Speak up.
Drill instructors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good lessons. Good lessons they took.
Someone said Peaceful Meadows. That's another ice cream place local on the South Shore. We definitely spent a lot of time there as well.
Rachel says she wants to let you know that because of this, she's going to call her sister tonight. She says sisters have very powerful bonds, and her thoughts are with you guys tonight.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
I love Fred's accent.
What, he has an accent?
No. Definitely original.
I guess you'd call that a South Shore accent. Is that a South Shore accent?
Yes. Definitely. Yes.
Mara had the accent too.
She had a lot of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I used to. I lost it a little bit. Oh, this is a kind of cute picture. This was in our local paper. And it's Mara with a Harvard shirt on. She looks, I don't know, maybe 8. And my dad and then me, we were doing some kind of training, and the local paper stopped and asked my dad a question, and he gave some long drawn out answer of some sort. But it's a cute picture. I love this picture.
All right, and then I have this one of Mara and my mother. My mother was huge into gardening, so they did that together all the time.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah, the front yard was always immaculate.
And Mara was into that too.
Yeah.
When was that?
That'd have to be when she was in high school anyways.
Can I just say something from my law enforcement perspective way down here at the end? I have never been through anything like this. This is the first time I think I've actually come close to a family that's had this type of incident in their lives. And this blows me away. I mean, I haven't been able to say much, but... you try to remove yourself from this stuff so you can take you know, the 35,000 foot level look at all the stuff that's gone on in this particular case. I'm with you, you know, from the very beginning that this is a solvable case. I think the New Hampshire State Police believe this is a solvable case. But when you sit here and you listen to the stories and you look at the photographs and you see the stuff that the stories you guys are telling, it's just heart-wrenching. And thanks for having me here. We law enforcement usually doesn't get an opportunity to do this.
Well, like I said at the beginning, we can't thank you enough, you and Maggie both, and everything you've done. We wouldn't have this right here if it weren't for you guys and the Texas crew, so thank you.
Karen asks,
yeah, good question.
Did she smile all the time or just for photos?
All the time.
Constantly. And that smile could brighten up a room, just like that.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining, and thank you guys for coming on here and doing this. I feel like it's really important. Seems like everybody really appreciates, you know, getting to know more a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep taking photos with your candles.
Yeah, please.
Throughout the year.
Please get the hashtag trending.
Is there any closing words that you guys want to wrap up with?
I just wanted to say, you know, anybody that's on, that's supporting this case, thank you on behalf of myself and my family. It means more than you can imagine.
Yeah, and to caveat off that, obviously, thanks, Tim and Lance, for doing what you're doing. And like I said at the beginning, there's too many people that have been involved to thank. But I feel like this event, this night on the 14th anniversary, to kind of get everyone together and look at these pictures and share these stories can kind of re-energize us, because we've got so much momentum now more than ever. And I want to, one of the members always says strength in numbers, and that's so true. So instead of being divisive and things like that, we're all here for this person we're talking about, my sister Mara. So let's pool our resources instead of being divisive. So hopefully this will generate even more momentum than we already have, and let's keep it going. And thank you. I can't thank you guys enough, everyone out there. And for those that weren't able to join in on Facebook, you know, the locals that go by the tree and, you know, clean it off every now and then, those are unsung heroes. I don't even know them all. They've probably never met me or my family. So just thank you.